This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast.
Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. Welcome to the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. As always, I am your host, Ryan Hunter, and joining me for the first time ever are both of my beautiful co-hosts, everyone's favorite brother, David, and the movie geek himself, Rob. Hello, boys. Hello, gentlemen. Hello.
Hello.
Friday fans.
Hello.
So, are you excited that we're finally the power of three on this podcast?
I have been waiting for this moment for a very long time, and I love that we're doing it on Freddy versus Jason. I'm so excited.
David?
Yes. I've been waiting a very long time, and we're going to have a good time. And I think that it's perfect that we're doing it with this movie. It's kind of like the end of your summer camp of death.
It's been a long summer. It's been a long summer, but we're near the end. Are you team Freddy or are you team Jason?
Okay, so I have always been team Freddy from the get-go. He is my first horror iconic exposure. So I have more of a, you know, allegiance with him. Nothing wrong with Jason at all. But Freddy has always been top dog for me. For many, many reasons, but we'll get into that when we actually do that franchise. But yes, I am Team Freddy.
David, I think I know what you're going to say as well, but...
Well, my first time was with Freddy. No, I'm... actually, it was with Billy, and he was manager of Taco Bell, but anyway.
Oh, shout out to Billy.
So, I am Team Freddy as well. However, this movie made me sympathize more with Jason, so... I don't want to say I switched sides, but I have so much to say. Like, I love Freddy. Freddy actually scared me more than Jason ever did as a child. Because, you know, when Ryan does his He Found It in the Basement segment, we have a boiler in the basement, which turns on and gets really loud. And there are many times as a child I ran my butt up those stairs because that boiler went on and I was thinking Freddy could be out there. Jason, I never got that feeling from. I never was afraid Jason was. Yeah, I still might get a little spring in my step when the boiler goes on. So I'm definitely Team Freddy in that.
Well, I will be the opposite here. While I do love Freddy, I have a soft spot for Jason. I guess that's why I tortured everyone and made us do this franchise first. I just feel that Jason really sums up what I love about an 80s horror franchise. The cheese, the atmosphere, and yeah, something about about him. I like that he doesn't talk. I don't know. There's something mysterious about our little hockey mast Jason Voorhees. So I'll represent Jason.
The silent type. The silent type. I like a little. I like a talkative. So that's my jam.
You like them big and stupid, and Rob likes them intellectual and talkative.
Well, you gotta have a sense of humor. I mean, that's great for Freddy, but I don't know, Jason. Maybe because he's a mama's boy.
It's because Jason doesn't like water, just like Ryan. So like they're perfect for each other.
That's so true. Oh,
I can't honestly. I don't know why people go in dirty water, though. I have to admit with Ryan, like, Ryan's unnatural fear is like the Kraken is going to come out of like lake water or something. Yes. My yes. fear is like brain eating amoebas and bacteria and getting some kind of fungus on my junk or hypodermic needles in the water. That would be my fear, as opposed to Ryan's the swamp,
and the Loch Ness
swamp
monster.
Thing is going to come for him. So
creep show too. I mean, the blacks,
the raft, yeah, the goo stuff. Yeah. Well, I'm a fire sign. So Freddy, I guess, is just in my wheelhouse, put it that way.
Speaking of that, let's get this out of the way. Let's get to your personal histories with Nightmare on Elm Street, since you both love Freddy so much. Tell me about it.
So yeah, I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street was one of my first horror films that I had watched, and it's really interesting, my progression with my love of horror. I knew that I was scared of it, and I knew that I didn't want to watch it alone. Like, even in the daytime, like, sun's out, lights are on, and I'm still like, Dad, can you watch Freddy with me so I can watch it? I mean, those are literal words. I knew that I was scared, but I needed to watch it. And I had fun watching it. I don't know how to process that, but it's just... I just love Freddy Krueger. But for the franchise, I just like how creative and imaginative they are. I also, you know, the laugh. I think all of the characters, you know, once we got to part three, they allowed these kids to have powers. Like, there was just so much fantasy. And that's where my genre loop goes to, is more fantasy. So the more magic, the more supernatural, that's what I gravitate to, which is why I love this series. And just again, seeing this trailer when it first came out and having them in the same frame was like everything to me, that I am a 90s kid and that I am at the age that I am now to experience that thing that nobody ever thought would ever happen. That it just blew my mind that they made this movie. So I, yeah, loved it. But yeah, I still enjoy watching the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. I think Nancy Thompson's one of the best, you know, final girls ever to live. And I went to an anniversary screening of the first one here in LA, and Miss Langenkamp and homegirl Tina showed up and watched the movie with us, and it was amazing because they did a Q&A afterwards, and Tina, God, I'm so sorry, I forgot her name at the moment.
Is that, she's the one who dies in the bed?
Yes, she's the one who dies in the bed, and she is just the most vibrant, like, exciting, like, happy, like, she was just so full of, like, joy talking about this movie. She was living it up. So, yeah. That is my relationship with the series.
David, why don't you tell everyone how you loving Nightmare on Elm Street as a kid terrified me, and you had to show me like a picture of Robert newspaper without makeup on because I was terrified of Freddy. But
Amanda Weiss is her name. Amanda Weiss. Sorry, Amanda. Amanda Weiss. That's her name. That's Tina. Okay, David, go on.
Where shall I start? I've always loved the
you
series.
You are a huge Nightmare fan.
I've always loved Freddy. Scared the hell out of me. I still think the original movie is still the scariest, even though that ridiculous, cheesy accordion arms across the alley. To me, you couldn't escape. He's like, I'm going to come get you. I still think that's the scariest. What I love about the franchise is exactly what we're just kind of joking about as far as Freddy speaking as opposed to Jason. Freddy feeds on your fears, and he actually makes it like candid. It's funny, like the way he makes a mockery out of your fear, but also uses your fear. And that's what I love. He is like, to me, is like a gay icon because he's campy as hell. He will basically read you for filth and basically like make a joke out of you. I think we talked about this once, like when he took the girl that wanted to be a movie star, he's like, move to prime time, bitch. And he like smashes her head into a TV. And it's always like, she's just so, when he says, tells Alice, welcome to Wonderland, Alice. I mean, he's just, he's kind of a bitch too. Like, he's just a, I that's what I love about it. Yes, you had, I've introduced you to many fears and phobias, Ryan. Thank you. I remember.
So you have John Waters. Don't forget John Waters films.
Oh, those are some, that, yeah, if you can survive John Waters films, and you can, you have the constitution for a lot. I've always loved it. I've loved Jason. I love the horror genre in general, but definitely the fear of, we've all had nightmares before we knew about Freddy Krueger, and we've all had nightmares after experiencing the franchise. So there's something to be said, like, even though Jason is all powerful and supernatural, there's still that conceptual idea in your head, I can get in a car and maybe I can outrun this person or escape. When you're sleeping, you're the most vulnerable you ever are, and you're, even physically, like metabolically, you are vulnerable to disease and different things. Like, you're at this restful state where your body, you're not in control of anything, really. You're an autopilot. So the fact that you're in a dream and the dream can hurt you, I think that's the scariest aspect of it, to not know what reality is and what isn't. You know what I mean? Like, you think you're awake, but really you're still in a dream because you're in Freddy's nightmare. That's what I love about it. Yes, I did try to, like, show you this is a real person, you know, like, kind of a thing when I tell my kids, it's just make-believe. Being a parent now, I don't let my children watch a lot of, like, scary stuff until they're probably older. I think our mom used to say, it'll scar them for life! See, our father was a big horror person too, and like, he used to love like traditional, like the Wolfman and Dracula, like with Bela Lugosi and stuff like that. And he introduced us to the love of horror movies. So yeah, but my mother used to say, it'll scar them for life! Movies, 50s, and it does, because we still think about running up those stairs and the boiler comes on. So it did scar you for life. So does that answer your question? I don't know.
Are your kids old enough to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark yet?
I don't think so. My children are a little scary, scaredy cat. So I know. I have a 3, 5, 7, and 14-year-old.
So technically, Gilbert might...
No, Gilbert watches stuff. We watch stuff together.
I feel like that would be nothing for kids nowadays. Are You Afraid of the Dark? For us, it was like...
Honestly, can I ask you something?
That's probably like a day at
school. Can I ask you something? And there's a thing out there. So how do I put this? What are your guys' thoughts? And we're going... I'm totally going off on a tangent like I always do. What do you think about the fact that children traditionally always fear about something in their closet or under their bed when it's never, the concept has never been introduced to them by anybody, TV or otherwise? How is that possible, that generational, you know, different countries, different places, different spaces, that children instinctually most of the time are afraid of the boogeyman in the closet or under the bed without being introduced to the concept from a show or a person? Think about that for a minute. What is to be said about that? Is there something really supernatural?
I guess Monsters, something Inc. scary? Could be the only thing.
My kids haven't even seen that. The boogeyman.
I am not a child psychologist. The only thing that I can think of is just the wonder and curiosity and imagination of darkness. Having a child's brain explore what is unknown, I think, creates stuff like that. As far as getting a name for it, like boogeyman or whatever, I want to say the parents fill in the blanks with all that crap. Honestly, I just think there is a little bit of a child's imagination that goes so far into an unknown that it creates those type of things. And it's just one of those, like, rites of passage that happens with kids. I could not tell you at all when I got scared of all that stuff. If anything, there might have been like a sentence in a book that mentioned, even if it was a friendly one, just something under the bed. Or maybe when your parents or a friend first jumps out and scares you, it just triggers something.
Or your older brother.
So, I mean, I just think fear in general. Now, as far as like when nightmares are like immediately produced in the brain, all that stuff, who knows how all that works? But that's just a talking out of my ass like theory of mine. So,
but the way you make it sound, I believe you. So
you've got that child psychologist voice. Tina,
our older brother once jumped out, like I opened the door and he jumped out, and I went into like fight or flight mode and I started slamming the door on him repeatedly over and over again, like screaming. So is that what you were talking about? I know you were laughing when you said when your brother jumps out.
Yes,
he never did that again.
That's what it became.
But that, see, I'm a fighter. That's why I tell you everything's a weapon. I slammed him in that door so many times he'll never jump out at me again. It wasn't intentional. I just was like, ah!
There you go. You're raised on these damn films, and that's what happens.
If there's a zombie apocalypse, people, we'll be ready for it. I will Michonne somebody if I have to. I don't care at this point. I don't care if you're my friend. Love you, Rob. Love you, Ron. You coming for me? Bye. I told my husband, is the life insurance policy paid up? Bye.
You better not have that on tape.
Edit this. Cut this part out.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ha
The two greatest titans clash in a final showdown. That is the tagline, so that's a lot to live up to. After years of development hell, both Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees finally met on August 15th of 2003. Aww, we're doing this on August 13th of 2021. Oh, nice. So close to that anniversary. To sum up this movie quickly so we can really just dive into a deep dive conversation, Freddy Krueger is trapped in hell and the teens of Springwood have forgotten about him. So Freddy comes up with a plan to bring Jason Voorhees out of his grave, pretend to be his mother Pamela, and have the children of Springwood fear something again. This leads us to an adventure where the two start to fight. Thoughts about this?
So I gotta say that I do love the opening of this, mixing the two theme songs together with the New Line logo. I thought that was so great. I really enjoyed that. Then, you know, we get a breakdown of, you know, who Freddy is, what's going on, and why he's doing this. My first thought when I watched this was like, so dead people can still dream. Or maybe it's different. Maybe he isn't going inside of Freddy's dream. But I mean, just look at the opening, you know, like it turns out that Jason is technically in his own heaven, to be honest with you, because he's being able to repeat his favorite thing that he likes to do, which is kill women. And then, you know, Freddy just comes in with the whole mom thing. And I'm just like, okay, maybe that's just a hell thing. Or maybe is he dreaming? I don't know. But I just thought that was kind of funny. But, you know, given the difference between some of the other theories that I had heard about regarding like the plot of this movie, you know, Freddy being a janitor at Crystal Lake, giving them that connection, I actually don't mind this storyline. I think it makes sense. Maybe not the very best story, but do they have to have some lineage, some kind of connection in order to be against each other? You know, I can easily be an enemy of some stranger out there today. It could be that day, and this just happens to be it, you know? So I actually didn't mind the storyline. So, yeah, so far so good. I liked where the movie was going.
I actually agree with Rob. I like the concept of it. I think there needed to be some sort of connection because I don't know, like, it's not Cheers where like Michael Myers and Freddy and Jason all hang out and have a beer together someplace. I mean, they had, you know, how do they know of each other? You know what I mean? Like, maybe they're on like, are they on the demonic hotline? Oh, your evil spirits talk to my evil spirits, you know, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that, yeah, you needed, I think the idea, and I think that Freddy being clever came up with this concept too of using Jason to get his street cred back, so to speak. And so, yeah, I mean, I like the idea. I love the mixing of them to music. I waited almost 10 years for this movie to be made as a kid.
Yeah, probably since, I mean, this has been in the making since 1989. They've been thinking about this. Wow.
So
wow,
I wow, think wow. It's right.
So leads me to my next question. Do you feel this is Freddy or Jason's movie? I'll just throw it out there, guys, so you can discuss this. I totally think Freddy overtook this movie. Maybe because he talks, maybe because he's narrating things, and maybe the dream sequence. But to me, I think Jason was almost not an afterthought, clearly, but to me it's a Nightmare in Elm Street movie, if anything. I think it fits better that context. Boy,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think because one, he can talk, two, he is the, I don't want to say superior villain, but he is the main villain of the story between the two. Yeah. Everything that you're seeing in this movie is driven by Freddy's actions. You know, Jason is technically a pawn, a machine, and a, you know, I don't want to say pet, but like he's being used in this movie. So this is ultimately Freddy's story, yeah, trying to gain some power back. Jason doesn't really have a necessary purpose. He just got a flip switched on and he's just out there killing people. That, yeah, so I guess you can say it's more of a Freddy movie than anything. I can't remember. I think Jason, the franchise, has gone on longer as far as timeline.
Yes, yes.
So movies, I think, yeah, when coming back to the two of them, it would make sense to put more emphasis on Freddy because of the lack of screen time he's gotten since those years have passed. I doubt that they were thinking about that. But yeah, I think a big point of it is just because Freddy is talking, so we get to hear more from that evil side while we deal with these teenagers trying to, you know, save the day.
Are they teenagers? Oh
you
about that. David,
you mean the original 90210 cast of 35 years old playing a 17-year-old, and I still look younger than her at 45?
Honestly, Laurie, anyway, the lead?
Not saying
I'm
anything.
I'm sorry, 35. But David, do you think this is a Freddy or a Jason?
I'm going to honestly say I feel like they're on equal footings, and I'm going to tell you why. Because even though, obviously, Freddy talks, obviously, Freddy basically says, "They forgot about me," in the beginning of the movie. You know, that I think I was a little whiny. I didn't really care for that part. But I don't know. I think they're on equal footings. I think it's interesting also that apparently Elm Street is so close to Crystal Lake, too. Like, is also Michael Myers' stomping ground? Like, is it all just the East Coast where this stuff happens, apparently?
Chucky!
So, anyway, that said, but I don't know. I think Freddy obviously is a standout because he speaks. I mean, I think obviously without Jason, Freddy would have not been able to come back. And Jason is just like a killing machine. We talked about this when we did other movies, and I'm sure you guys did too. It's like, does he just go on a killing spree? Like, when he gets out of the hospital, does he kill his way through America? Is he on tour? The kills of America, you know, coming to your town. Jason just goes and he kills until he gets back to Crystal Lake. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say they're on equal footings, and obviously not a spoiler, at the end of the movie Freddy loses, so Jason's on top, KO. So I mean, I don't know, I'm gonna say they're on equal footing just because he's a strong and silent type that you like, and Rob and I like the more talkative, bitchy type, I guess, you know. It doesn't matter. There's room at the table for both.
And I do think, honestly, as much as I say this is a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, I do think they give enough to Jason in the sense that he's seen and he's the one doing the killing, basically. But I feel like such heavy Elm Street lore. Laurie living in Nancy's house is something. I just want to talk about the characters, boys. Laurie Campbell, this is our lead, and this is the woman who I say is 35 years old. I think, Rob, you might have said this before. She gives you very Marilyn Monroe vibes. Is it something about her lips, the way she talks?
There was a specific scene with her dad, and she's trying to convince him that she's okay, and that I'm gonna go to school, and I don't need to sleep. And she goes, "Oh, daddy, I'm okay," you know? And she just, again, just with her worry and her, you know, damsel attitude, is just very sultry at the same time. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, that kind of vibe that I got. It just seems she was channeling Marilyn if she was scared.
She was channeling Marilyn the hoe, not Marilyn Monroe.
But she was the good girl, David. She was,
oh, Daddy,
she was the good girl. Daddy, she was the one that...
How was I supposed to know? No.
Jason Ritter as Will Rollins, one of our male leads. Kelly Rowland as Kia Waterson. Spoiler alert, I think she's one of the best actresses in this movie. I don't know what that's
my favorite part of the movie. Freddy, you got them butter knives, and Jason, he's got this big old...
Come on, get real. You're not even scary. And let's talk about the butter knives. What is with the butter knives? You trying to compensate for something? Maybe coming up a little short there between the legs, Mr. Krueger? I mean, you got these teensy-weensy little things, and Jason has got this big old thing, like...
We have Catherine Isabel as Gib Smith, Lachlan Monroe, our Jack from Charmed, and various other movies as Deputy Scott Stubbs, and various other people. What do you think about the characters in this movie? Are they likable? Honestly, let me throw it out there, boys. Kia, I don't know, her acting was natural to me. I believed her when she did that role of Kia. I gotta say, Catherine Isabel, I mean, I know she is a huge, huge horror icon. I don't know, something about this role, and maybe because I read that she had issues with the director over not wanting to do nudity scenes, I think she's phoning it in. The way she does a lot of these scenes, I'm not digging her acting in this
movie. You mean Ginger Snaps?
Yes, Ginger Snaps, yeah. I mean, yes, in the beginning, beginning, her boyfriend's killed first, and then she does that thing with the police, like, what do you think? When she's holding her arms up when the police ask what's wrong. Something about her acting in this movie I do not like. And I like her in other things. I think she's a good actress. I don't know. Discuss, boys. What do you think?
Miss Gibbs. So, yeah, I've seen Catherine do better acting in other films. I don't know if this was just due to the part she was playing or, like you said, phone it in. I've seen her do better. She's definitely capable of doing better. So, yeah, this wasn't really one of her best. I will say amongst the ladies, Kelly was the more entertaining. The woman had a curse word out of her mouth, though, every 2 seconds. I don't know. I was back and forth on that. But other than that, this woman, Kia, is the perfect wing woman I have ever seen in a horror movie. She is the true best friend. I don't know how many times she played an assist to Lori. It was just amazing. One particular scene is when they're at the rave in the cornfield or whatever. You know, Linderman clearly is into her. And then, you know, Jason Ritter comes in and you can see that they needed a moment. She immediately goes to Linderman, even though she got read for filth by Linderman, which was amazing because that shut that woman up right away. But she immediately went to Linderman and distracted him and just was having a good time. I just like her character. I just think she was such the supporting girl, like even down to her death. When it came between going after Will and Lori, she literally was like, hey, come after me. Like, I think that she should value her own life as well. But this is what us Black people do in horror movies. We assist so they can live. And again, I just think she's a really cool character, so I'll give her that. Linderman was my favorite guy only because I relate to him.
They knew you would like him. You love sweet.
Little geeky, you like him. You
I
like
love
him.
Linderman, but no, him as an actor, yeah.
He is cute, though.
No, him as an actor as well. Like, he was amazing in Just Friends. In Just Friends, he was the literal opposite of Linderman, and he slayed. He was in Fanboys, which I love a lot. And yeah, I just think him as an actor is really good. So I'll just leave it at that. Ooh, but you did mention something. You said that Kelly Rowlands was the best actress in here. I want to point out Brendan Fletcher. So Brendan Fletcher plays Mark. This is Will's friend in the hospital. I thought
the mooner.
Oh God, yeah. Besides that, I thought that his acting and portrayal of this sort of knowledgeable person on Freddy was actually really good. I thought his fear was authentic and realistic than everybody else's. I also enjoyed his dream sequence the best.
With the brother killing himself.
Just the fear in his eyes. And he's like, wake me up. I thought he really went all out in this role. So he was my favorite actor in it. So I'll leave it at that as far as characters.
David, tell us all about these characters. You got a few to talk
about. Rob definitely summed up a lot of how I feel. I feel like Kia, I was actually hoping that Kia was going to like jump out of the way. Cause if someone told me Jason was behind me, I would have done a duck and cover. And I was actually hoping
you would have seen smoke, just smoke.
Exactly. I would have hoped she would have jumped out of the way and then Jason would have went right for Freddy. That would have been great because she deserved to live. Lori kind of got on my nerves slightly with some of, like you said, the baby girl, like, oh, daddy, I'm not a little girl anymore, daddy, I can do this, you know, like, I understand she was upset about her mom, obviously, and I do agree, Kia was the best wingman, she did everything, including giving her life to save her friends, which is, I think, is amazing.
Literally, yeah.
I think Will did a good job of playing someone who is emotionally got some problems, obviously, because he was, you know, taken away and drugged and put into a sanitarium because he saw the father killing the mother. I had Jeepers Creepers feels when we were in the cornfield. And then the guy was like, why don't you go F a pig or something? That dude, he throws the flaming, you know, machete through him. Definitely got Jeepers Creepers vibes. As far as I call her Ginger Snaps, because I can't remember Catherine, right? Ginger Snaps. I don't know if she was dialing it in, because I felt her character, maybe she was dialing it in, but I read it as she was just that druggy sort of friend that like was like nothing, like she has no enthusiasm for life. You handed her a gold ring and she'd be like, oh, like Kristen Stewart from Twilight. Edward, like that's how she was. And that's how I read her. And she died early on anyway. So bye, bitch. Like she's eating bologna sandwiches on white bread with Miracle Whip and eating that stuff up. That's what I got. I don't like her. She is beneath me. In the words of Sugar Hill, when I look at you, I look nowhere but down.
Damn, so you really feel Gibbs. No,
actually,
damn,
I'm dismissing her. Okay. Her character gave me that vibe. Like, I could care less. But that's indicative of generational.
I know that this was needed.
Needed for me to release?
No, I know that this was needed to further the story, but it was just this moment of, you know, the sheriff trying to, like, stop from Freddy's name to be mentioned. And here comes this white girl just being like, what? Who are you talking about? I need to remember his name. I need to know his name because, you know, I'm a detective. I need to figure this out myself. I mean, her nosiness turned on so, like, up to 11, just wanting to be like, no, what is this cop talking about that wants to keep it a secret? That means I must know. Like, she started this whole goddamn thing. It is just the way that it was executed. You hear somebody talking grown folk business, and here she comes just snooping. She just determined, what's his name? And I'm like, you did it. This was you.
But what about what's his name though from the sanitarium, the blonde guy? He started singing the song in front of all the students.
Yeah, he did kind of fuck up too, and he admitted it though.
That was too late, boo.
By the way, we brought this up in that scene. I don't know if you noticed this, David. In that scene, while he's telling the story and being like, you know, Freddy haunts you in your dreams, there is a woman in the background. I think she's wearing like a green sweater. Her first ever role, which was it wasn't uncredited. It's actually in the credits. So that's Evangeline Lilly from Lost fame, and she is now Wasp from Ant-Man and Wasp. Yeah, that was her first role ever, just being in the background and being like terrified when he's telling the story.
But to me, that whole high school scene, I knew why it was there, so the children and the teens could hear it, but it was so unbelievable to me. Like, she is that whiny. Like, to me, the whole time, Lori is in this traumatic screaming tone, but it's like a subdued screaming. It's like, what is his name? Freddy? Like you said, like, I need to know. Tell me now. I can't with Lori. I like her because she does that line at the end. Welcome to my night. In that same tone, bitch.
But did you also notice in the high school when the boys ran away, like the principal came out? That was Robert Shea, who has been producing the entire franchise. He popped in part two, and I think he also popped in Freddy's Dead. I'm sure he popped in other ones. But yeah, Robert Shea usually pops in.
Does he play
and
principal?
Does a cameo. And yeah, I think he played the principal in this, so I thought that was good. What I also enjoyed about this particular story was the fact that it was a little similar to part six, where they decided that if they just don't speak his name, like, people will forget about him and the wonder and curiosity will go away with it. I like that this town came to a consensus, like, this dude's real. We're not going to be playing this, it's just, you know, he's not real, he's dead, all this jazz. Like, everybody knows he's real. They got all these kids on Hypnosil, which is not something they just pulled out of their ass. That shit popped up in part one, the Hypnosil pills. And just this idea of keeping it all contained in secret. I just like the acknowledgement that they're not fucking around, you know, anymore.
Wouldn't you move away, though?
Hey. I mean, if anything, I you know, like, they can't.
Wouldn't you move away? If you lived in Camp Crystal Lake or on the outskirts and every year someone dies, wouldn't your ass move away to a couple of towns away? I know it'd be inconvenient. You might have to get on Zillow or something, but move. I'm not living next to the toxic waste plant. Just not happening, you know? I agree with you, though. I think it's great that people finally...
I bet you that everyone that needed to move probably moved.
Yeah!
But he didn't kill Freddy in the franchise other than, I have a thing for the whores in this house. He really doesn't kill adults, right? He only kills the kids, right? I think after you hit a certain age, unless you're actively involved in taking him out or dealing with him, he leaves you alone. Because what part?
What was the one with Roseanne?
Was the mother and all the kids had died.
It was Freddy's Dead.
Yeah, that's Freddy's Dead.
All the kids are dead. He doesn't kill any of the parents.
I hate Freddy's Dead.
No, he doesn't. So basically what it is that, you know, he's obviously a child killer. So that's where he gets his jollies. He doesn't care about killing adults. The other thing was is that he wanted to punish the parents who killed him.
So he
doesn't go after the parents because what's worse than death is watching your child die. So that's why he never really went after the parents. But I think a big part of it is his psychosis, is that he just gets more out of killing children than, you know, adults. But yeah, this is why he, you know, wants to be remembered again and all that jazz and whatever. Because, you know, teenagers still want to be nosy and want to know his name. And want to know
say my business. Name, say my name when no one is around yes, you.
That's right. When no one is around
say, you. Baby, I love you. Go ahead, Rob. I pull up my notes. I got to pull up my notes.
I want to bring up the scene where Jason and Freddy finally sort of meet, not meet, but just kind of like share a scene together for the first time. And this is when, you know, Jason gets drugged and he finally gets knocked out and he goes into the dream world, right? So I really thought that scene was very important to have and to just kind of see sort of the level of like how versus they are against each other. And I enjoyed that showdown, just having Freddy just flex his powers and Jason just being very like, what the hell is going on? But then also over the fact that when Freddy is committing all of this violence and, you know, blunt, you know, to Jason's body, the fact that he won't die, like, it's just this laying out the playing field. It's like, I've got all these powers. I can do whatever I want, cut off my arms. It doesn't matter. And then him just not dying. Right. But it's also interesting that Freddy accidentally stumbled upon Jason's fear, because I always thought that his power was that he knew everyone's fears and insecurities and was able to manipulate them in the dream, but he couldn't do that with Jason. So I just thought that was interesting. But again, there was something really good about watching Robert Englund in this particular scene, because he was able to flex a lot, you know, just with his gestures of his body. And even when Jason came to lunge at him and before the water blocked him, Freddy, he just kind of does this stance with his arm and he's just like posing like, I'm about to take it. Like,
nuance.
I just think he's just so used to playing this character, and just every like movement I just was noticing on him. And I just thought, like, he hasn't lost his touch after so long. He just did Freddy's Dead. Like, he just, like, you know, new nightmare and all that. He just hasn't lost it. I just love that scene. I just thought it was a nice scene.
I liked it. I thought it was great. And I also, like, you know, we're talking about who's more powerful without water. And we talked about this in a previous podcast. We'll find out that his Achilles heel is water. And I guess subsequently fire is Freddy's, you know. I love the scene. And I, again, if he didn't come across the water, then what would he be just doing? He'd be constantly until Jason woke up. I just have some notes. I said, the sheriffs don't speak his name. I said, what is he, Voldemort? We don't speak his name. I like the fact that he, I like the fact name. That in the sanitarium in Sanislime, he told him, you know, I don't do checkers. I'm an Uno guy. I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
Hysterical. Yes. I like that as well. Bring the Uno over and we'll play. Like,
did anybody read more into like Freddy as Mrs. Voorhees at all? Like, what's your thoughts? I know you didn't care for it.
I think I liked the performance of that, but I guess this woman's a close match. They got the short hair this time.
And they got the cruddy
sweater, but it was a Freddy sweater. I like that. I think it's smart that he used the mother.
Well, it makes sense because he does everything for his mother, and the mother was the original killer in Friday the 13th, and how, you know, kill her, mommy, kill her. I will, Jason. So I also wrote for you, Ryan, because this is our thing. Jason, when the last fight sequence starts between Jason and Freddy, how Jason takes Freddy and pulls him through all the windows on one line of windows in a cabin. Our window count. We have this thing with windows, right? How many times can you be thrown in and thrown out? Go in and go out of a window.
He did just a string boom, 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 boom. Of windows. But to your point, and like Rob was saying earlier about this battle, the fact that they're both unstoppable killing machines for the most part makes this interesting, because you can do something with that through the window.
Until Jason gets a shot at Freddy being pulled out of the dream.
Oh my god. Lori goes into the dream world to pull Freddy out, a la Nancy.
Yes.
Because she pulled off his ear earlier.
It happens. It's a thing.
We get more overacting of Lori going, take your bets!
Look at my breasts!
Yeah, I remember in the theater that the moment when he gets pulled out, and he looks around and he notices he's in a cabin and it's like real life. And then that heavy metal music starts and Freddy looks terrified. He's like, fuck this. And then we all in the theater just get super excited. We're applauding because it's like Jason's about to whoop his ass. Like, he knows what's coming. And like that whole scene, we were just waiting for 80 minutes for this to come around. And we just thought that was like the best moment ever. It was so good. One line, as you were talking about lines, David, one line I did want to point out that I thought was so funny. So they're on their way to the camp because they believe home court advantage, Jason on his own turf, yes, he can take out Freddy and yada yada. But but, you know, they're both unconscious in the van. You know, Freddy is drowning Jason in the dream, so Jason's drowning, and they think that, you know, giving him CPR is going to wake this dead man up. You know, Linderman's like, I have asthma. And then I love Will. He's like, Kia, he has asthma. I was like, that's the line. I just thought that was so funny the way he said that. He's like, he has asthma. Like, do it.
No, I don't care if you have asthma.
We are going to have to stop Freddy in a different way. Yeah. This is not the way. I'm not doing it. I cannot believe this again goes to the wing woman thing. This woman was willing to do anything it took. I just love that line.
How she opens the mask too.
I know. But just like Freddy comes out and they're like trying to fight Jason, these kids. I'm like, really? Why are y'all coming at him with sticks and stuff? Like, this isn't working. Just get out of there. I don't understand why they were all trying to fight Jason. And I was just like, oh, and then Linderman, oh, he got hit in the back. I was so mad. Oh, question for both of you. Do you think that they tried to pair up Linderman
Absolutely.
And Kia?
Absolutely. Yes. There was some kind of friction. He had a thing for her.
Do you think there was something there? I thought there was something there too.
He had a thing for her.
I think so too. I do.
After he said that to her, like you said, Rob, earlier, he read her. I think she started to become attracted to him. And then at the end with this, I guess they were setting up because she's like, I'll come back for you.
Yeah. I think he read her because he liked her. I think he read her because he was angry with her because of that. He was disappointed in her behavior. And that's what that animosity he had because he couldn't be with her because he did like her is what came out in that form.
Yes. And that one scene when she did make fun of him, I don't think that was like the rest of her character. She did seem like she was the supportive character, so that might have been the whole cliche of I'm gonna make fun of you because I like you. I mean, I don't know who does that, but I've heard it's
maybe that's why I make fun of you all the time. Just a little tidbit fact from being in the medical field, you do know that CPR, they have found that it's more important for compressions than it is for breaths.
Oh, thank God.
And in fact, it is actually acceptable to just do chest compressions on people. If you look it up, you'll see the guidelines for CPR have changed. Yes, breaths are good, but if they find compression is actually more important than actually giving the breath. So you should do both. But Kia, I'm sorry. I would have just let Lori had to die. And I would have started taking hit. And I would have started swallowing hypnosil like Tic Tacs again.
Do you love, though, that they place Lori right next to hit? Like, I mean, put her in the front seat or something.
Maybe they were trying to do power swap.
I know that they needed Jason to take out Freddy. It made sense. But honestly, while this man was knocked out, the head would have been chopped off. Like, we're just going to have to figure something out. I mean, when Jason woke up and was starting swinging everywhere, like, I would have been so terrified just at the moment. Like, he just went crazy. Him flying out that van the way he did, I don't know if that's, like, physically possible. But so I watched this movie with a friend of mine who didn't see it in theater. She saw it on DVD, and I was so excited to show it to her. And once this movie was over, all she could think about was how horrible the final battle was, this showdown. And one of her biggest things, and she didn't like the fact that Freddy just like knew jujitsu and karate and was able to like do all of these like moves that you've never seen him fight before. But I guess you kind of wanted to make it a little bit even between the two of them. What did you think? Was that too cheesy? Did it make sense for him to fight Jason the way that he did just when they would do the hand-to-hand stuff? What did you guys think about that? Did it take you out of the movie with that? Or did you think it was like too fake, overboard? Like what?
Only because we knew that they had to quote unquote battle. But I did write a note originally when reviewing was that honestly, Freddy gets in a lot of punches to the point of you're like, holy crap. Impressed with Freddy holding his own, honestly, for how small he is. But I always assumed we just didn't see this because no one really could take on Freddy like this. We don't know if he's got this in his head. I mean, he was a superhero, right? I mean, like, he could take on the form of what he wants.
Shape
to
of water, form of bucket.
Words, but
Wonder Twin powers activate. And this is where my mind works.
Maybe Freddy, before he died, was a kung fu master.
Well, I will say that when they got to the pier and Freddy got a hold of Jason's machete and the way he was cutting him up, like, yes, he definitely got his licks in. But I did like the shenanigans between the two of them with the air pumps and, you know, the window and driving them. Like, they definitely used the whole entire atmosphere. I thought was great.
Did you like that when Freddy became some Guido Italian guy from New York, "Over here, asshole!" I was like, what, are we in Brooklyn? Hey, over here, asshole!
I also love the fact that throughout this whole fight, his hat managed to stay on for at least 80% of the fight. Like, no matter how he was getting flipped or knocked into stuff, that hat stayed right on his head.
I agree with your friend, though, Rob, that it did, in some points, take me out of it, because knowing that he was in the real world and not the dream world, because in the dream world, anything's possible. I mean, I did like it that he used the tanks as, like, torpedoes. I thought it was funny. I'm actually shocked that Freddy took as many blows that he took. I know Jason can take pretty much anything, but I was pretty amazed that Freddy, after having his arm chopped off and all these different things.
I've always associated that with him just being dead. You know, like, I think he can still feel pain, but unless you get that heart or the brain, I think he can probably take it and still get up and move and do all that he was doing. Oh, God,
and his
that
eyes,
was
didn't
so
he like,
cool.
Didn't Freddy hit his eye? I mean, how many times
he stabbed
Jason
him through
eyes
the, he stabbed him through the eyes?
Poked out.
That was disgusting. Yeah, let's bring that up. So, like, the gore, the special effect, I thought all of that still
beautiful.
Like I said, aside from that caterpillar thing, I honestly enjoyed all of the gore and the mess that they were making throughout this, like, even the sound editing with the, you know, skin falling off and being all of that I thought was great. Some of the stuff was a little cheesy, like when that friend's dad's head just popped off and I was like, okay, whatever. But, like, even when, you know, that dream sequence where he wasn't, like, strong enough and he tried to, like, make his shadow kill the kid. First of all, very creative. I thought that was cool. But I enjoyed that special effect. I still thought it.
I like that.
In my opinion. I
think it all looked
good.
Yeah.
I think the makeup and all of that was really good.
Was there a part when he becomes like devil, like a devil looking thing? What do you remember that in the movie? When he was with Lori?
Right? He became like
this
new nightmare.
This is when Jason was, Jason was taken out of the dream because he had woken up, and then Freddy was fucking pissed because he almost drowned him and let him go. And then Lori was trying to help Jason, which, I don't know. I did not like that. Like, again, I know you need Jason to get Freddy, but she was just like, Jason, let me help you. And I'm like, no, he's no longer a villain at this point.
No, I think they set him up to be an anti-hero by the end of this movie. Definitely.
Yeah, but when Jason disappeared, that's when, you know, Freddy was pissed and he was like, you, and then when he popped out of the pool, that was so good.
Did you like the bad acting part of your friend Lori?
No,
he ruined both of our pasts. I would have said he ruined my whole life, not both of our pasts, because you're still going to be back in that sanitarium probably, and I am still lost my mother and insane, so forget it. Like, she's like, he ruined both of our pasts, I have to see this through now. I wanted to slap her. That was a cheesy line. I hated it.
I'm not living until they're dead. Like, I think her acting was, I guess, right for this franchise, but... So, by the end of this, we see that Freddy is beheaded by Jason, but he gives us the wink.
I don't like that at the end either. I don't like that at the end either. I hate it. It ruined it for me. I'm going to tell you, I wrote that in my notes. The wink was too stupid to me. Like, if he would have made his mouth move, his eyes blink and quiver, not like, ha-ha. Like, I know that's part of his, like, his appeal, his camp and stuff, but I just don't see Freddy winking.
Yeah.
I see Freddy making a grimacing kind of like a snarl with his mouth or something, not a, hey, getcha, I'll be back. I don't know. I didn't like it. That I didn't like. I didn't like it. That I didn't like, personally.
So with this particular film, I think it would be a little difficult to appease everyone and have a winner, like a clear winner. So, and we've talked about this, I feel that the wink leaves everything to a little bit of an ambiguous moment. The wink was a little too cheesy, I will give you that. I think it was necessary to kind of even out, like, not necessarily is it a tie, but it also creates conversation. People will continue to talk about it even today, who actually won. And my theory was that because of the wink, I feel that they could have been in a dream state and that Jason believes that he took Freddy out or won, and that is him winking like, haha, he's in the dream world. He doesn't know that he's dreaming.
Oh, that sounds better.
or he could literally just come out of the lake and live. You know, Freddy just woken a monster that cannot be stopped, and that's his head, and we're in the real world. So I think it could go either way. And because I am biased to Freddy, I want to give him the win. But because Freddy is the official and main villain of the story, at the end of these horror movies, the villain must lose. So in that way, Jason probably won the fight. That's all I'll say with that.
But we know, like David likes to say, as long as, like Mumra, as long as evil exists, Freddy will always be around. So evidently you can't kill either one of these men, so...
Could there have been another movie? Could there have been another movie?
So I do want to say one other thing. So afterwards, yes, they were supposed to do like Freddy Jason versus Ash. And the whole reason the whole Evil Dead thing was going to come in is because of what we discussed in Jason Goes to Hell. Evil Dead was introduced into the
Which
mythology.
Is so crazy.
But then if you notice in Evil Dead movie, at the cabin, Ash opens up a closet and Freddy's fingers are there.
So all of them could be tongue-in-cheek in the same...
Exactly, but they technically kind of like connected the two, so that was a possibility. But here's what I also thought was kind of cool. So we get Robert Shea, we get Robert Englund, we get, I want to say there might have been one other sort of Freddy cameo in there, or so just something more associated with Freddy. Kane Hodder also got one last laugh as well. Even though he did not play Jason, he still ended up in the movie.
Oh, recap?
And this is how he got into the movie. So filmmakers didn't even know they did it until after the movie was made. So this was not on purpose. There was a scene in when they're at the hospital and the guy who's behind the cage, you know, he's got the, you know, the needles and like blah, blah, blah. He's giving out the medicine. There is a movie playing in the background on the television and it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. Guess who played Leatherface in that movie?
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
No, he played Leatherface. Wow.
Neither did I. Exactly. So technically Hodder ended up in the movie whether they liked it or not. I thought that was amazing.
Just because he loves that role so much, but eh.
Should have been my...
So he didn't play Leatherface. He actually just played the stunt double of Leatherface, and that scene happened to be in that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little tidbit. Also, when they were watching the TV and the news was on, remember when they found out about Lori and the death or whatever? So it was Channel Sense KRGR News, which is Krueger.
Oh, smart. Ooh, these people are smart.
I noticed that on my rewatch. I thought that was kind of cool. Overall, I think that Freddy vs. Jason is still a fun movie. Rewatching it again, I love the music. I loved how campy it was. I didn't mind the humor. I thought the kill count was great. I thought some of the dream sequences were cool. Jason definitely delivered with his heavy strength and bruteness. Like, I think all the elements are there. I think this movie would have elevated a bit better if they had better actors in the film, or I should say more likable protagonists. That's me. I mean, yes, this movie was definitely for Freddy and Jason, but if you are going to tie it to a human counterpart to bridge the two, have them be more interesting or have a better sort of like fleshed out character development to me, because I just wasn't cool with most of them, put it that way.
I was just happy that it happened. They could have done like, they could have had Jason, you know, jumping rope, singing the 1-2 Freddy's coming for you at that point. I was so happy to have seen it. Overall, I enjoyed it. I feel like I said, I like the campiness of Freddy. I always have. I feel like it, you know, obviously, like I said, I wasn't fond with the winking. I would have just wanted his mouth to move or his head to move. I know that's such a small part, but that was like the last image you're going to see of a movie. I feel like Jason was a little more stupefied in this movie, like where at certain points I thought he was more cognitive, like we talked about when he was Jason Takes Manhattan versus when he first got struck by lightning and came back after Jarvis did it, you know, woke him up with the lightning. I feel like he had moments where he was, I think in this movie, he just became more of the killing machine, stupefied animal on a leash,
animal on a leash,
Rob kind of said, as opposed to there were other movies of his franchise that I felt like he was more cognitive of what was going on. Like when he was being, you know, taken out, you know, with Tina and everything like that, I think he was like more...
Laura Parker, when he was more, you know,
like pissed off that he was being challenged so powerfully. Freddy really didn't get any kills in pretty much the most of the movie. He really got nothing. I will say one part that did disturb me was pseudo rape scene with the fingernails kind of turned me off. I have to be honest with you.
The cornfield
with the girl when he was with Lori, and he was like the first time. It tends to get a little sticky or gross. I don't know what he said, and that really turned. Honestly, I don't know.
I was thinking you were talking.
No, Oh, well, that was the raver, the weird raver kid.
I was thinking the corn.
The raver guy with the glow sticks that look like a wannabe mutant. X-Men, I don't know what his name is.
Yes!
Dude. I don't know why that really turned me off that part, because I never viewed Freddy as he's a child murderer and horrible, but I never viewed him as a pedophile type of thing. I guess she's an adult, but, and I guess maybe that's her fear. I don't know. She seemed like she was ready to have sex as well.
I guess she is 35, but.
So that's the one part that really turned me off.
David, doesn't Freddy say in this movie as Pamela, you're like a big stupid dog, killing. When will you get your fill or something like that? So to wrap this up, Rob, there's three of us here. And in the beginning of this movie, Kia plays a little game.
Kia plays the game Fuck, Marry, Kill with her friends as they're just hanging out. So I thought it would be fun just do a quick Freddy vs. Jason edition. So I'm going to give you three sets of names and you just tell me real quickly how you would pair them up. So Fuck, Marry, Kill, Kia, Lori, and Gib.
I'm going to go with Marry, Kia, Kill, Gib, because her acting was even worse for me. And I guess make love to Kia. Make love.
I'm like, sweet love to you, Laurie. Sweet love. I'm actually going to say, for me, I would marry Kia because she's a ride or die girl. So if she's proven that, died literally.
So we're both marrying Kia.
I would be afraid to get an STD from Gib. That's Ginger Snap we're talking about, right? So, and I guess fuck Lori because I'd have to slap her and have rough sex with her just to take my aggression out and leave her.
Oh my God.
Is that too graphic for you?
No.
No, that's good. So I'm pretty much the same. I'm torn between having sex with either Lori or Gib, but yeah, it's the same. It's the same. So we're all in agreement with that. Okay.
Damn.
Okay, so fuck, marry, kill, Will, Charlie, or Mark. Now, Charlie is Linderman. Charlie is his first name.
Okay.
Yeah, so Will, Linderman, or Mark.
Marry Will. Oh, man, this one's harder. I care more.
Because you're talking about the D.
Marry Will because he seems to really be so faithful, even being locked up in a sanitarium, coming back for Lori. And if he could put up with her, he'll put up with any of my annoying tendencies that I have. Mark, I guess. Oh, I don't want to kill.
I don't know.
Kill Mark.
Mark's the blonde, right?
Mark's the ass man, yeah. The ass sanitarium uno. And what's his name? Letterman?
Linderman.
Linderman.
Jay Leno.
Linderman. Yeah. My God.
This is hard for me because I'm emotionally invested in. I would have to say as that Will actually is a little crazy. So is it? No, who's the blonde? Why am I getting this? Why am I getting this mess? Mark is a little crazy. Mark. So the sex might be really good. Or he might just cry afterwards, which might be. Linderman will probably become really good and probably like become a tax attorney or something and make a lot of money. So we'd be set for life.
Smart. So,
I'm going to have to marry the geek, bang Will on the side, kill crazy because I got to put him out of his misery.
Oh, so Mark is dead.
Sorry, Mark, but you're too damaged. You'll probably end up waking up and stabbing me in my sleep anyway because you think I'm Freddy at some point. Plus, when Freddy comes back, he's going to come for you anyway because he always gets everybody eventually. So I'm putting you in a good position.
Gets his kids.
Your soul won't go to Freddy's body. I justified it. It was a mercy killing, really.
Rob? Out of these three gentlemen.
Don't marry my man.
So for me, I would fuck Mark because he looks like he is very fun in bed. He just is just wild. He's wild. So I would fuck Mark. I would marry Linderman, of course, for obvious reasons. And I would kill Will.
Will is a little vanilla now that I'm thinking about it.
I have no reason to kill Will. I just think that he is the boring of the three characters. So I don't want to marry or have sex with him. He can just go. So,
but do you think Linderman would support you financially?
So here's the last pairing, and this is like, I will support him. Just be pretty and be loyal. I'm fine with that. That's totally fine. I can do that. Okay, last three set of men is our Deputy Scott, Lachlan Monroe, Trey, our asshole. Don't
the one who gets squished in the bed. I don't. Don't let.
Don't let me ask you twice. And uh-oh. Then there's Bobby, who is Mark's brother.
Oh,
crazy.
The little ginger.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in like horror movies, other movies? Was he in Buffy?
Wasn't he the demon in Charmed that had to kill to become a full demon?
Lizard man.
Right? In the church?
Yeah. He's got like the half. Yeah. Yes, that lizard. Yep.
Tell us, Ryan, who are you going to kill? Who are you going to kill first?
Honestly, the jerk in the bed, because he was so, I don't like his abusiveness. I did like that he didn't like Catherine Isabel smoking, but that's neither here nor there. So killing him, marry Lachlan Monroe, because maybe he can introduce me to some Charmed cast members, and have sex with
the ginger.
Brother. What's his name?
Brother Bobby.
Bobby, the ginger.
Oh God, this is going to be so hard for me. Because they're all so different, but they're all so the same. Kind of the one note flavor, really, for me.
Yeah, they're all.
I'm Pocahontas. I like to paint with all the. I like to paint with all the colors of the wind. To be honest with you, so I recently saw Lachlan and his wife on a show that was filmed in the early 2000s called "Love It or Lose It," which is a show that a designer comes in and does a crazy makeover of your house, like of a room in your house. But if you don't like it, they literally take everything and get rid of it, and you're empty with an empty room. So you got to love it or you lose it. Not as opposed to Love It or List It, which is on right now on HGTV. So this, you have to look this up. It's funny because it's. I liked him because I felt like he was totally into his wife and super cute on the show and not pretentious. So I'm going to marry him because I think he's probably a good guy.
Good.
Plus, he has a twin brother, right?
Does he?
No,
but in the charm world, he does. So anyway, hey, listen, we're talking fantasies here. We're not talking about Don't Rain on My Parade. So now it's the jerk or the already dead brother. So I'm going to say...
Brother who cut his wrist in the stomach.
Let the dead brother die again. Let him lie because he's got some problems. Although I do like a good ginger now and again. Because I think the guy who's an asshole would probably be a really good... lay, and but then I would just be done with him, so I'd be okay with that, because you know what,
I told you
it's an aggressive lay. You, Rob?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like, Scott would be the best person to marry, even though I find Mark's brother Bobby to be the most attractive out of the three. So I will have sex with Bobby and I will kill Trey. Nobody's that good of a lay. He was an asshole. Like, I just love how he confidently walked into this girl's house and was like, I'm picking a bedroom in your home and I'm having sex in it. Girl, get your ass up there.
Her house. It wasn't even...
No, yes. Yeah, so I just thought that was hilarious. But yeah, so that is my order.
I've learned all about your personal taste.
Radical Ones. Wow. It took almost a year, but the three of us were together in one audio format. And we're on Friday the 13th. This is so exciting. We are almost done with the summer. We're almost done with Friday the 13th movies. But I'm hoping everyone's enjoying them. I really am. Where can people find you, Rob? When you're not hanging out over here.
we're almost done with the summer camp and other movie tour. Right now you should be listening to our review of Camp from 2009. It's a very fun camp movie based on drama camp. It's really cool. I used to love it as a kid, so thought I would review it. And then next Wednesday we will be reviewing The Final Girls, which is a horror comedy meta-esque movie. It is so, so good. And if you haven't seen that, I definitely recommend it. And then we have our review, so definitely listen to that. But it's Movie Geek and Proud. It's a movie podcast. You can find it on most podcast apps, and you can also follow the podcast on Twitter at MGNP Podcast.
You could always find Brother David at Universal Appeal 2020, all one word. On the Instagram.
Or you can see me working the street corners on the corner.
That's an exclusive. We should do that for Patreon or one of those things. That Patreon exclusive, David's street corner. And you can always reach the Radical Retro Rewind at Radical Retro Podcast, one word, on Instagram and YouTube. You could always find us doing video formats of the podcast as well as other fun treats over there. If you also have it in your heart to leave a review for the podcast, if you have extra time, if you're enjoying the podcast and you have a favorite place to listen, or usually Apple, you could review podcasts. I'm not sure about the other platforms, but if you have time and would love to leave a review, we will read it on the show. We'll post a picture of it on the Instagram. We'll throw a party and we'll be so super thankful.
Or you can also tell us a movie that you'd like us to review. Now that summer camp is over, we have some open slots here, people. Besides Thundercat.
To go back to something more lighthearted. And I know that a lot of people aren't horror fans, so thank you for sticking with us through this summer.
Two more weeks in August, and we're going to end it with a retrospect where you'll hear the three of us again just talk about the whole franchise as a whole, you know, talk about favorites and stuff. So we're almost done, and we'll definitely get back to our retro normalcy with lighthearted stuff. Definitely, I definitely have some ideas on what to review on here, so I'm excited.
Thank you again, Radical Ones. That was another episode of the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. Thank you, as always, for joining us, and we are back next Friday with an all-new episode. Goodbye.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.